Hey everyone, I'm Coach Al Lyman.
And I'm Dr. Kurt Strecker, and we are the experts behind Pursuit Athletic Performance, one of the nation's cutting-edge sports training companies with an outstanding reputation for getting athletes just like you stronger, more powerful, and faster, all while keeping you uninjured and in the game year after year.
Our weekly podcast will share honest, effective training tips and information, from the nuances of triathlon to the rigors of ultra running, as well as the latest in sports medicine and nutrition. Our goal is to explode the training myths and untruths marketed to athletes and to teach you how to truly unleash your ultimate potential. Be sure to subscribe for free updates of our proven strategies at PursuitAthleticPerformance.com. Hey everybody, Coach Al here. Thanks again for joining me for this new edition of our podcast here at Pursuit Athletic Performance. Going solo once again today. Doc Strecker is unavailable, and I got a couple of listener questions that I certainly can share and talk about today with you. We've been getting some great questions and a lot of ongoing discussions as well on our team forum and on our Facebook page. So always great to hear from all of you, and really happy to get into some of the questions. And, you know, I think as I sit here right now with all of the questions that I get on a routine basis, I always think it's a good idea when sharing some stuff on the podcast with all of you that I focus in on the questions that I feel are probably most common for the largest number of athletes. And the questions I want to get into today, I feel, are probably quite common. And so we'll jump right into it. The first question I have that I wanted to talk about today, an athlete writes in, and this happens to be a member of our team, but I really think this is applicable in quite a few situations and environments from a training point of view. This athlete asks, as I work on my own strength and movement quality and work to develop my fitness as a triathlete, I sometimes find it hard when I hear about other athletes progressing further or what it appears improving faster and showing that they're definitely stronger. And this is true also for athletes that are putting up great race results. This athlete goes on to say, I understand intuitively that we're all on our unique path, but at the same time, sometimes I find that when I hear of others doing more or progressing faster, my first reaction is that I suck. So my question concerns how not to compare myself to others. I know I should find others' success as inspiring, and I certainly do on some days, but on other days, it's quite hard. You know, that, I feel, is probably a sentiment that all of you that are listening have probably experienced at one time or another, at least if you're honest. I know I certainly have, depending on where I've been in my own journey. And, you know, as we look around, whether it's our training partners or folks that we see out in the race course, or for us here at Pursuit Athletic Performance, all the team members that we have, folks that come into our lab and train. You know, everybody's at a different level. And for each individual, you're trying to, you know, to sort of renew that daily motivation to keep plugging wherever you are. And in one extreme, you may have an athlete who's injured, who's just trying to get back to moving and training without pain. And on the other extreme, you've got an athlete that's at a really high level of strength and fitness who's really performing at their best. And those opposite extremes, of course, for each one of those individuals, they're in their place. But then there's all of those athletes that sort of fit in or slot in that continuum between those extremes. And all of you listening can probably relate in some way to feeling at times like you don't quite measure up to another athlete. And I think that's really common. You know, it's interesting the timing of this question, because one of our team members and coaches and an athlete that I've worked with as a coach for a number of years now, Debbie Livingston, a highly accomplished ultra runner who was featured on one of our recent podcast episodes in an interview I did. Debbie has really, you know, is really performing at a high level right now and has really embraced our philosophy. She's progressing some basic and fundamental skills and raising her strength and fitness to a high level. And she's got some good racing ahead of her this season, but it's pretty easy when looking at Deb, for any one of a number of other athletes to say, wow, you know, I thought I was strong, but then watching her. And, you know, whether you attend CrossFit and you watch somebody, you know, climb a rope or do X number of pull-ups and you can't begin to measure up to that, or whether you're in a gym and you're watching somebody front squat or back squat a tremendous amount of weight, or, you know, whether you're at a road race and you see somebody up ahead who's running at a faster rate of speed. You know, inevitably, we all need to really embrace this idea that we're on our own path and we've got to work hard to figure out how to use others' successes as motivation to stay on our path and continue to move forward. Whenever I get into a discussion with an athlete about this topic, one thing that I always try to draw their attention to is not where somebody else is, but rather how far they have come to get to where they are now. For example, you may not, as a runner, have the strength to do a single leg bridge with half your body weight at your waist and perform really high quality reps as Deb can. But you may be performing bridges without resistance, but doing them really, really well, and having come from a point in time where you couldn't do that exercise very well at all. You may not be running at a very fast rate of speed right now compared to the fastest runners you know, but if you're running without injury and you see progression in your fitness, that could very well be a dramatic improvement for you from where you've come from prior to getting to that point. You may not be able to do a ton of pull-ups right now, maybe, you know, as much as 10 or 15 like some of the strongest athletes can do. But if you can get up on the bar and hang and engage your back and even do a half pull-up successfully, or maybe five or more with a light band for assistance, that's very likely improvement from where you've come from to reach that point. So wherever you are on the path, whether you're a novice, whether you've been injured, whether you've just started out, you know, there's the old saying that, you know, you're doing 99, you know, percent, you're doing better than 99% of the population that's sitting on the couch, you know. And there's a lot of truth to the idea that no matter, the bottom line is that no matter where you are on this journey you're on, It's absolutely true that you're way ahead of many, many people. And of course, at the same time, you're likely behind others in that journey. And, you know, the funny thing is none of us knows the future. None of us can look forward and really, see what the future holds down the road. And it's very interesting to me as I look back over the years that many folks that I looked at as being faster or further down the path than I was, at some point in time in the future, they ended up further behind me comparatively for one reason or another, whether it was injury or a period of time where they detrained for whatever reason. The point is it all ebb and flows. You know, we're all at a different space and a different time. And to take a moment in time and compare ourselves directly to others and see ourselves falling short or see ourselves as not measuring up or in some way inadequate, is absolutely faulty thinking. That's the bottom line. And that's what I want to share. And it's, you know, I think it's okay to be honest. You know, what I really appreciated about this question from this athlete was, you know, a high level of honesty. You know, they're accepting the fact that on some level there's a little bit of envy. And I think that's a normal human emotion to have. You know, we can all be envious at one time or another, for any one of a variety of reasons. You know, if the sport you play in is really important to you, it's normal sometimes to be a little bit envious. It's not a good place to stay. And you really want to see it for what it is and bring it back and learn how to really be objective, see things for, you know, as they are and use others' successes as inspiration and motivation for you to keep on your path and find spaces in your heart and mind to support others and encourage others, because those are the places where we really get the most back for ourselves and where we feel the best about where we are. But nevertheless, as I said, I think it's normal to feel those feelings at time, especially, you know, if it's a period of time that of frustration for us, you know, and we all go through those. You know, it really does ebb and flow regardless of what kind of element we're talking about with respect to our fitness and our movement quality and our health. You know, it ebbs and flows. And hopefully we have a lot more good days and hopefully we're on the right path. We're moving in the right direction. That is really the key. And what I always really want to focus athletes in on, are you moving in the right direction? You know, are you now in a place where you know what's going on? Because so many athletes delude themselves into thinking they're on the right path and they're not on the right path. They're fooled into believing they are. And if they could project what would happen over the long term, they'd find out they were going to be quite frustrated because they're never going to get the results they're seeking. If you really believe you're on the right path and the destination is something you can really see and you've got those reality checks in the form of other people around you that are helping you to see things as they are, if you're on the right path, you're well ahead of most people, honestly. So anyway, I hope that helps. I think that's a really solid question. Good stuff there. All right. The next question I also thought was probably is a question that's probably quite common with a lot of athletes, endurance athletes in particular, and certainly long course athletes that tend to race at longer distance. But I think this applies to almost anything you do athletically at some point in time. So this athlete writes in, my question has to do with the psychology of suffering. What do I mean? Yes, I know in my heart that to perform my best, I need to suck it up when it starts getting hard, whether it's in a race or in a workout. How do I effectively control that voice in my head that's telling me to slow down or go easier or to quit? Also, how often do I need to, quote unquote, go to the well and suffer in order to learn better how to do it? The weather also always hinders me from accomplishing what I want to or plan to. I find it easy to use weather as an excuse to do less than my best. How do I overcome that? Wow, that is a great question. And of course, it's a question that's loaded with a lot of smaller questions inside of a larger question, which is, how do I get the most from myself? And how do I keep pushing hard when it gets hard? Or should I continue to push? You know, without question, first and foremost, I want to say, you know, for every one of us that participates in endurance sport, whether you're a runner, a triathlete, you know, you're doing Ironman or just working to race the local sprint and have fun, you know, we're all doing it for a different reason. You know, some are checking the box, some are trying to get on the podium. And I think that's the first thing to really consider is what is it that's really driving you and what are you looking for? Because if your goal is to check the box, then you can probably stop listening now. You don't need to really be too concerned with, you know, the psychology of suffering. You know, you're not interested in suffering. You're just interested in finishing. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Not at all. You know, here at Pursuit Athletic Performance, we believe that there's room for everybody. And at some point in time, every person's in a different space. And it's okay to want to podium at the Ironman. It's also okay to just want to participate and compete at your own level and have fun training and racing. Those are good places to be. Doc and I have this discussion all the time. Naturally, I come from a background, you know, my own involvement was, you know, I tried to get to Ironman, to Hawaii. That was my goal, to qualify. When I got involved in triathlon, it was to get to Hawaii. So right from the get-go, my interest was, you know, really about competing at the highest level and at the hardest level that I could. And Doc's experience is a little bit different. You know, he looks at the sport more as an outlet for fun and to balance his life and to de-stress. And I think that's awesome. And again, there's a place for everybody on that continuum. But when we talk about the psychology of suffering, we're talking about folks that really want to get the most from their performance. They want to perform better. And I've always said that if you want to go fast and do your best in this sport, you've got to be comfortable being uncomfortable. It is uncomfortable to go as fast as you can go or to train as hard as you can train. You know, I remember, I don't even remember where I saw this, but there's a well-known quote from an old World War II general, George Patton, where he said that if you're going to win the battle, you've got to do one thing. You've got to make the mind run the body. Never let the body tell the mind what to do, because the body's always going to give up. And to me, that represents that ongoing battle or, you know, headbutting that goes on in the different parts of our brain and certainly between our mind and our body, where, you know, we reach a certain point in time where, you know, some part of our brain or our body is saying, okay, that's enough. You know, that's it. You need to slow down, or you need to stop. And, the decisions and choices that we make, whether or not to push, how hard to push, those are really, I believe, skills that come with practice, because we learn over time through workouts and races how hard we can push ourselves. Most athletes will learn that they can push themselves much harder than they thought. And when they stop, they're very soon back to normal and everything feels fine. You know, I think many of you probably can relate to the idea that in a race, you probably reached a point at, you know, maybe you have this experience where it started to really hurt. You eased off the gas a little bit, and then you finished the race, and almost immediately you felt absolutely normal. And the first question you asked yourself is, you know, why did I ease up? Why didn't I push harder? Because, you know, it seems like I finished with plenty in the gas tank. You know, I could have done better than I did. And, you know, that's certainly, I think, an experience all of us have had at one time. So I believe it's a skill developed over time to learn just how hard you can push yourself, and also to learn how to become comfortable doing that and really putting your mind in charge of your body and understanding that there's a lot more there than you probably think. So back, you know, sort of all of that being said, let me come back to that question. One of the questions that this listener asked, you know, what do we do with that voice inside our head? And that's telling us to slow down or even quit in some instances. You know, I think first, I want to say up front, and I want to make sure I get this in, is there are times when if you've got the onset of an injury where the discomfort you're feeling is not just discomfort from effort, but it's actually an injury. When those instances occur, it's really, really smart to stop. And you need to learn to differentiate the two and understand when that happens and what those differences are. That's the first thing. So assuming that it's not an injury and there's some other experience going on, simply that you're working really, really hard and it really hurts or it's very, very uncomfortable, is once you understand it's just your brain or your body trying to basically, you know, get you to go easier, you've got to start to begin to reframe those thoughts. You know, one thing as an example of that, one thing that I've often told athletes, and I remember back in my first year at Badwater on a support crew where I was supporting the Italian runner Roberto Aldovini. We were at about 110 miles into the Badwater Ultra Marathon, and Lone Pine was perhaps 10 miles or so away. We could see it off in the distance, and it was so incredibly hot. I mean, it was around 120 degrees. And at one point, Roberto just could not continue, did not want to continue, and the heat was a major issue for him. And I tried to encourage him. We had this discussion actually throughout the race and even before the race, but I tried to encourage him to embrace the heat, to begin to work with his mind in terms of self-talk, to tell himself that he loved the heat, that he excelled in the heat, that the heat was exactly what he was looking for. And, you know, when it comes to discomfort in a race, I can remember times where I would talk to the pain. I'd talk to that discomfort and say, hey, I expected you. What took you so long to arrive? I'm glad that you're here. And almost have a conversation with that discomfort where I partner with it and I help, I'm trying to help myself move to a point where I can believe and embrace this idea that with that discomfort will come my best result, that the pain is actually my partner in reaching my ultimate potential. And if I have that conversation and I can use some keywords or some power words to help me embrace that discomfort, talk to it and know that it's part of my success because I'm going there. I'm here. I got to be there and present with that discomfort and that pain. Again, not injury pain, but just pain and discomfort from effort. I've got to become one with it and use it to empower me. And I think that's what I tried to encourage Roberto, to do on that day. And we actually laugh about that period of time now. When I chat with him, you know, he laughs and says, you know, Al, do you remember the point in the race when you tried to encourage me to love the heat? And he hated the heat. You know, he couldn't get out of it fast enough. Amazingly, he finished, Badwater and has that belt buckle to prove it. And, you know, he's an amazing guy who certainly knows how to embrace discomfort. You know, any finisher of Badwater or any ultra marathon like that is a very good sense of what it's like to deal with discomfort. That's for sure. But for every one of us, there's that demon. And for Roberto, it was definitely the heat. So, you know, sometimes rather than fighting that inner voice, we need to partner with it and embrace it. I think that can be a really, really valuable way to work through it. And as I said earlier, I really believe that part of this process is practicing. You know, if you're out there training on a daily basis and you've got some segments or periods of time that you're going to be uncomfortable if you're really executing this session as you should be, then that gives you an opportunity to practice how you're going to respond. It gives you an opportunity to practice where your mind goes and practice using those words. And, you know, on the question of the weather, which this athlete also asked, you know, they found, hey, the weather sabotages my efforts as well. You know, what should I do in that instance? And I think this is where training in bad weather is hugely powerful. You know, I remember one athlete that I coached for many years, who went on to 5 Ironman finishes and a bunch of other great results, Jeff Kozlowski. Jeff and I would always, we went through a period of time where we were training together frequently, and, cause he's a local athlete here to me and, a really accomplished one, but we would get out there on some really tough days weather-wise. And, the saying that we always shared with each other, and I really wanted him to say it, and I wanted to hear it from him, was, whatever the weather is, this is the best weather for me. This is my kind of weather. This is the best weather for me. And it could have been downpouring, and, you know, it could be whatever the weather was. I mean, I remember once in Lake Placid at a training camp that we did together. I think we did 3 loops of the bike course, which was roughly 140 miles or so, and 140 to 150 miles. I think we skipped the out and back on the 3rd loop, but we did much of that in a downpour. That kind of training, where you're in right in the midst of the experience of being in bad weather, really empowers you, because if that happens on race day, you're now very comfortable with that bad weather. You say, hey, I've been there. I've seen the worst of it, and I know how to handle this. This is the best weather for me. It really comes from the training experiences and not allowing yourself to say, hey, it's not a good weather day. I think I'll stay inside, or I think I'll move this day. And sometimes it is a good idea to move a training session because of bad weather, you know, thunderstorms or snow, whatever it may be. I mean, I'm not saying it's not a good idea to shift things around if the weather is not appropriate. But at the same time, we can't look at weather as a reason to change our training. And sometimes training in bad weather is the best possible thing we can do, to basically, you know, look at the weather straight in the eye and say, I'm stronger than you are, and I can complete this session. And no matter what happens on race day, I'm going to be ready for it. I think there's a tremendous power in that, and something that we all need to practice if we really want to have success and reach our potential, that's for sure. So, you know, one other thing is this athlete, I just want to go back and make sure I answer all these questions, but this athlete asked, how often do I need to go to the well and suffer in order to learn better how to do it? Yeah, that's a really, really great question as well, because I think there is an appropriate balance, you know, certainly not every day, certainly not every session. There are some days that need to be relaxed. There's some days that need to be just fun, unstructured. There are some days that need to be aerobic, and you're keeping your effort and intensity level in check. But at the same time, from the point of view of differentiating intensity, we've got to have those harder efforts as well. If you're going hard and suffering and pushing yourself with almost every session or nearly every session, that is going to be problematic, no question, over the long term. So you got to be really careful about that. You need recovery. Your brain needs recovery. Your mind needs recovery. One other interesting element too, that I just thought of is, we all have those sports where we're more comfortable pushing ourselves and suffering a little bit. It's very interesting to me, where I occupy pretty comfortably in both the space of the endurance athlete, but also the strength and conditioning world. And I think an athlete who's spent a lot of time in the strength and conditioning world has some difficulty pushing themselves in the endurance world. And vice versa, an endurance athlete has a real hard time picking up some weight or really pushing themselves from a strength training point of view, you know, really knocking out some last reps, really getting the most from whatever movement or exercise it may be. And similarly, you know, from a sport training point of view, runners might have a really easy time pushing themselves in a run workout, but a difficult time doing it in the pool. And certainly we know swimmers are comfortable pushing themselves there, but may have the opposite experience when they're on the track. So I think if you can recognize where your own tendencies are, where your own strengths are with respect to where you're most comfortable being uncomfortable, then you can recognize where you have the greatest room for improvement. Because ultimately, I think for all of us, if we can improve our weaknesses or areas where we're not as strong and raise them up to where they're closer to where our strengths tend to lie, ultimately we're going to be better balanced athletes and probably perform better on race day as well. It's very true, I think, that certainly for the triathletes that are listening, you've got to be comfortable pushing yourself on the run. The run comes as the last sport of the race. You're tired. You're very often depleted. It's very often the hottest time of the day, obviously. So if you're not willing to be uncomfortable during the late stages of the run in a triathlon, you're going to have a difficult time reaching your potential or doing your best or really seeing what you're capable of. And for those of you that are trying to achieve your best, trying to get on the podium, trying to qualify for whether it's nationals or World 73 or Ironman, the difference in the success of your race and how much you're able to really achieve often comes down to that run and the late stages of the run and how comfortable you are being uncomfortable. You gotta get there and be there and learn how to sit at that edge of discomfort and believe that when you finish, it's all going to be said and done, and you're going to be pretty normal pretty soon. So, all right. Well, I hope some of those thoughts are helpful. I noticed that I'm pushing a little over 30 minutes with this podcast. You know, I love talking, as you all probably know, but anyone talking for 30 minutes straight, you know, it's probably, unless you're listening to a book on tape, you know. All right, very good. Hey, listen, keep the questions coming. Love reading them. And if anyone has any follow-up questions on this podcast, by all means, leave them either on our Facebook page, send us an email at info@pursuitathleticperformance.com. Drop us a note. We love hearing from you. Of course, you can go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We always appreciate that. Please do that. And let us know how we can help moving forward. As we roll into late June here, I wish all of you great success in your racing, whether you're trying to check the box or trying to hit a new PR. It's our passion here at Pursuit Athletic Performance to help everyone that we can to reach their ultimate potential. And certainly to do that, you got to love suffering, right? Got to love suffering. Alrighty. Have a great day, everybody. Thank you for spending some time with me. I really, really appreciate it and wish you all the best. Take care.
Thank you for tuning in to the Pursuit Athletic Performance Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please leave a 5-star rating and review here on iTunes. Be sure to head over to PursuitAthleticPerformance.com to subscribe for free tips and strategies to help you get strong, get fast, and unleash the amazing athlete in you.